Welcome back, everybody. I am Danielle Agnew here with my co-host on the premiere episode of The Soul, where psych major meets the psychic. My co-host is the psych major, of course, Mr. Roy Pack. How you doing, Roy?
Not too bad, not too bad.
That's fantastic. This is so much fun to do this show with you.
Oh, it is. I come in. God, I'm hearing everybody today complain about the weather and the rain and everything. And I was outside about 1 o'clock this morning, and all I could do is just stand out there and look around and look at all this cleansing that was going on, and this nice fog that was settling down over the lights and the way it glowed and everything. And it was really cool.
I agree. I was so thrilled. Of course, we're talking about the weather in Montana, which, of course, it changed over today from being extremely hot to low-hanging clouds and fog. And I'm in a sweater with a penguin on it. I'm so thrilled I can't stand it to be in layers, you know. So it's been wonderful.
I will say I'm a little disappointed summer was over. I was up in the morning one morning up on the Stillwater River, and it was about 3:30 in the morning, and I was standing by the river there. And all of a sudden, I just felt something in the air change. And it was at that instant, literally, summer ended.
Oh,
yeah.
You could
feel it. And it was kind of sad because it was change in there. And, I was kind of thinking about that, the call you had on your last show.
Yes.
That poor lady, she's hurting a lot and she's going through some change. And what I thought about in that kind of change was, what opportunity is there there? What opportunity is there to look for in that change? There's an opportunity presenting itself in that change if you're just prepared to take it and ready for it. You know, if you're prepared to take it and ready for it, when that opportunity opens the door, that's kind of my definition of luck, is when opportunity opens the door in preparation.
Absolutely.
So if you can prepare yourself for those opportunities and actually prepare yourself to see them when that change comes, then there's something really great trying to happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, you and I, of course, Roy and I go back many, many years. We're dear friends. We co-own a record label together. We hang out. We're just very good friends. And we have had opportunities to sit and have these most extraordinary discussions about what it is to embrace change. And we both have gone through some pretty tough times, as everybody has who's listening out there. And when you talk about change, there is the fear of change. And there are the karmic ramifications of change, which is basically opportunities for growth. Mm. And then there is the opportunity of change, yeah, like you talked about.
And that biggest stumbling block right there, you said it right off the bat, the fear. I'm going to give you wisdom from a six-year-old, from my daughter when she was 6 years old. She was five at the time. And someone said something to her about fear, and she says, fear is the lie that keeps you from doing things you really want to do.
Whoa, that's
and
a coffee
like,
mug.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I wish more adults got that, because that's really what fear is. It just keeps us from doing the things that we're really trying to do, or that we really want to do, or that we want to have. Fear is that barrier that we put up there for ourselves, that we let other people teach us, that, you know, we accept that, and we don't have to.
Right, right.
We do not have to. We can reject that one, completely reject it. And I kind of, in a sense, love those no fear stickers I see.
Yes.
You know, that doesn't mean go out and do crazy things. That just means don't be afraid of what's happening in your life. Look at it for what it is. Good, bad, or indifferent. What's happening in your life is life. It changes a part of life. Growth is a part of life. That fear will keep you from growing. It'll keep you held back. It'll keep you where you're at that point in time, and you won't move forward. You know, I see people that, God, I've seen people in their middle ages, you know, the 40s and 50s, that are still 14 or 15 years old, because something will happen that created fear, and they believe the fear so strongly that they've carried it with them ever since then. They've never moved beyond that.
That's absolutely true. And I have found that especially people in the 40s and 50s demographic really have a tendency towards either being completely fearless or being addicted to the fear, because the energy signature of fear becomes the longest standing relationship they've ever had, mm-hmm, is with this fearful position. And overcoming the fear is huge, because what you're dealing with is you're asking someone to break up with the longest standing relationship they've had, which is whatever this fear is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they get comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And not just comfortable emotionally or psychologically or spiritually, they get comfortable with it physically, with, you know, what it creates in their body, the chemicals it creates in their body. And that leads into a lot of trauma for the body. You know, you mentioned something earlier in your other show about cancer being caused by ourselves. Well, it's not necessarily caused by ourselves, but it can be a symptom of other things. You know, that holding on to that fear and things like that will cause things like cancers, like tumors and stuff like that.
Bronchitis even. I mean, people who have a fear, bronchitis, your bronchial tubes sit right where chakra 4A is, and that's between the throat chakra and the heart. So people who have a really hard time speaking the needs of the heart get a lot of bronchitis.
Yeah, well, and I think it's important too to look at how, and this moves way out of the field of psychology. We're going to go way back in history and in time, back to, you know, some of the early gods. And if you think about things like Atlas and talking about how people hold their fear, how they hold their trauma, you know, Atlas is portrayed with the weight of the world on his shoulders. Consistently over the years, I've seen men come in that are carrying a lot of weight, a lot of fear, a lot of trauma. Where do they have problems? They have back problems in their upper back and their shoulders and their neck. They have headaches, things like that. You know, that was a metaphor for how men carry it. By the same token, you mentioned about women having problems, you know, uterine problems and things like that. That's how women are meant to carry things. And when they hold in their fears, they hold in their traumas, all of that kind of stuff, then they'll have problems, you know, like endometriosis and cysts and, I mean, just all kinds of things like that, you know, reoccurring infections and those kinds of things. That's how we're meant to carry things, people. That's where we carry them. You know, if you're a guy, you carry things on your shoulders, the weight of the world on your shoulders. If you're a woman, you carry them just as though you were giving birth to life and you're giving birth back again to the fears, the traumas, and all that kind of stuff. So let go of those things, people. Please, please put the drug companies and the mental health community out of business. Let go.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Go on more river raft trips.
Hey, that's where I talk to God.
Right? That is the best church in the world right there. If you're listening out there and you have a fear you would like to discuss, do not hesitate to call us. This is a caller-driven show. Again, the emptyradio.net studio number is area code 406-545-4496. If there's a fear you're looking to eradicate and maybe just need a little help, give us a call. We promise we will not dehumanize you like Dr. Laura. My God, I actually heard her on Sirius XM coming back from a road trip, and I thought, geez, woman, put down the Jack Daniels and hug somebody. This is getting bad. This poor lady's so twisted up on the inside, I couldn't believe it. It was disturbing.
You know, they started treating that with Quaaludes and vodka back in the 50s. I mean, that was the cocktail of choice for housewives. Then it moved from there into electroshock therapy. That was in the 70s and 80s for housewives that were depressed. Then they moved electroshock therapy into the VA and started using it with PTSD. Well, you zap someone long enough and they don't remember why they're upset or anything. You know, you shock them enough, they lose all their short-term memory. They got to have... I actually had a friend that went through all of this in the VA, and then he got on voc rehab and they helped him start a business, and he was doing a lawn care service. This guy had, like, at any given point in time, 75 or 80 sticky notes all over the dash of his vehicle so that he could remember what he had to do that day. The minute he found out he had to do something, he wrote down a sticky note in the time and stuck it to his dash. Because he had no memory left. The problem was he could remember things that happened 30 years ago. It really didn't address any of the PTSD issues or anything. But it was like the most anti-reverse ADD in the world. Instead of him getting distracted by other things and forgetting, he just plain went blank.
Yeah.
And didn't remember what it was he was feeling or thinking and was supposed to be doing.
And he couldn't feel it at all. Well, don't you find that there is this, I have found a disturbing trend, and I would be fascinated to get your perspective on this. The trend that I've found, obviously, now this does not take a psychic to notice this. If you watch television at all, you'll see this trend, is medicating absolutely everything. Now, I came across an ad that freaked me out so badly. It wasn't just the, oh, I'm depressed, and oh, you know, if you have this and that, take depression. What they showed were people laughing so hard they couldn't stand it, laughing till tears were running down their face. And then they showed somebody just sobbing, deeply sobbing. And now I thought they were just showing an Italian family reunion, to be honest with you. I'm like, what the hell is this? Good God. And I, being Italian, I could relate with that. They go on to launch into this messed up diatribe about how this is a disorder now. They've characterized normal range of emotion as if you go from laughing to crying and you're capable of doing both, you have this disorder and you need to be brought back into the middle with this medicine. And I looked at that and I thought, my God, how, you know, we joke about zombies. We joke about zombies and brains and whatever, but look what the hell they're doing with the GMOs and all of this.
I think flip side of it is, you know, the something that's changed, and there's a lot of things that have changed. And part of that is people's role models now are the TV. And I don't believe, from what I've seen, that people are really being taught that it's okay to feel. Man up. Big girls don't cry, whatever, all that kind of crap. But that it's okay to have this range of emotions. They don't see it in their role models, and their role models are on the TV. They do not see that range of emotions. So they grow up thinking, God, I'm not normal. I have this range of emotions. You know what? It's okay to cry. It's okay to have your down days. It's okay to have your up days and laugh hysterically. You know, those things are all part of being human. Okay. What did we do prior to 1900 when we didn't have all these drugs?
We didn't have all the diagnoses.
And we didn't have all the diagnoses either.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of goes back to, you know, why we named the show what we did. We're talking about the psyche, the psych, and things like that. But if you go far enough back in the roots to that word psyche, back to the very beginning of what it was, it meant the soul. And that was all encompassing of who the individual was. There is the flesh body, there is the soul, and the soul encompassed everything that wasn't flesh that you couldn't see. Then somewhere along the line, they separated that. And part of it had to do with religion. Religion went over here and said, okay, your soul is this. We got to save your soul and everything else. What you do every day, that's your mind. That's how you think. That's how you act and all that kind of stuff, and separated it. And the term psyche went with that. And the term soul stayed over here with the spiritual side, when in the beginning, it was actually all one and the same thing. You know, a good friend of mine, Eduardo Duran, wrote a beautiful book about 20 years ago. And I got to spend some time with him after he wrote this book. And it's called Transforming the Soul Wound. And he looked, it's Dr. Eduardo Duran. You can look him up if you want. He's also got a great book out now called Buddha in Red Face. And it's from a Native American perspective on healing and transformation. But he brought it back around to where you can't treat the mind without treating the soul at the same time, because they're one and the same. They're connected.
Absolutely.
These are both non-tangible things that you can't see.
Right.
And they are interconnected. They are one and the same. They're dependent on each other. They feed on each other. They feed each other. You know, they're in love with each other. They hate each other. They're
one. A real couple.
Yeah,
wow.
They're a real couple. All right. Your soul and your mind, and they're the same thing at the same time.
Yes. Oh, and they are, and it's important for people to, you know, think about this, because I at one time had a discussion with someone about IQ and intelligence and all this, and it's my observation in the spiritual field, looking at the spirit. Our spirit is a hard drive, and it accrues intelligence from one life to the next life to the next life, and obviously it's born into a body, and this body has a biological brain, and that brain is where we store memories, not only from what we took into this life, but also the memories that we accrue this lifetime. And that brain may have chemical disorders. It may have a head injury that it provides difficulty. It may be like your dear friend who had so much electroshock that he couldn't even remember what he did 5 minutes ago. However, that is the temporary hard drive for the eternal memory, which is the soul. And a lot of people that I will see in my practice are people who have been traumatized from different lifetimes, and those traumas are coming out in their everyday life. And in fact, I'm going to take this opportunity, Roy, to invite anybody, if you have a repeat problem that keeps coming up in your life day after day, relationship after relationship, time after time, regardless of the situation, the people, the environment, the same thing keeps happening, that very likely is a past life issue, but it could also be a psychological hiccup you're having, call the show, area code 406-545-4496, weigh in with myself and Roy, get two different perspectives on what's going on. Because you're right, the soul and the mind are not pull-apartable. I mean, and you know, that requires a lot of hyphens to actually say that, but pull-apartable. They're not pull-apartable.
Yeah, I read a pretty good story here a while back, and it actually came across in my Facebook feed, and hopefully I can remember this correctly and get it out there, but this guy dies, and he goes to heaven, and he's up there in heaven, and he says, well, now what? And they said, well, you're going to go do it again. Well, what do you mean I'm going to go do it again? Well, pick one down there. You're going to go back as somebody. And he's like, well, which one? Well, it really doesn't matter. Well, why does it matter? Because you're going to be all of them. What do you mean I'm going to be all of them? You're going to keep doing this until you've been every single person on the planet.
Oh my God. No wonder I'm tired.
So it's your choice how you want to make the world is what it comes down to. It's your choice how you want to make the world, because you're going to be every single one in the world. And so how do you want to create the entire world? You know, it comes back to, I got to create my own world for me, just exactly the way I want to do it. You know, play God. I'm going to go out and play God. I'm going to go play God every day. I'm going to try and create things the way they need to be in my world and create that for me. And what doesn't work with that, I'm going to reject it and put it away. Whether it's a person, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a car that don't run or whatever else, if it doesn't serve me in my world, I'm not going to let it be part of my creation.
Absolutely. And that is key, Roy. What I feel in my practice, what I run into is a lot of people don't understand that 100% of their future is based on their choices, period. Mm-hmm. You know, and there is the destiny factor, but that gets real sketchy in many, many timelines and has to do with way bigger cogs and wheels turning than the human id or psyche's sense of self-importance. But in generally speaking, our future is created by exactly what we do today. For instance, if we wait, there goes 3 seconds. Now we're in the future. 3 seconds ago, we weren't there. Okay, so it depends on how we frame this up. You know, you brought up a really interesting point that I wanted to bring back around again. You were talking about media and television and how there are no role models, because we look to TV, we look to media, the lazy man's guide, basically. And I have a huge TV background, obviously. I was in LA for a long time. I've done a lot of TV, looking at these, quote, reality shows, end quotes. And I'm doing quotes in the air. You guys can't see me. Roy can see me.
She looks really weird doing it, too.
I do. Like, I have little bunnies hopping around. What is that? I don't even know. But basically, you're dealing with these reality shows where they're supposed to be reality. They're called soft scripted. So you've got the Kardashians, just as example. All right. You got Kim Kardashian over there. And she would probably say something fairly normal. But you have the producer saying, I'll tell you what, Kim, pick up that dog and stick it on your shoulder and put a bra on your head and break a heel. Now walk in and say, my panties are in my blah, blah, blah. And what she was going to maybe come in and talk about was, hey, so-and-so left the mail by the front door. So you have this construction of non-reality in media. And I believe this construction, and this is what I wanted to ask you, this construction of non-reality, I wanted to get your opinion on why you think that is happening to this degree. Do you think that we have gotten so far off the beaten path that we need to create reality because we're bored? Or do you, well, that's my question to you. I have my own theory on it.
I'm going to start out with, what do they call that? When you sit down and you look at your TV, of which, by the way, I don't own one. I refuse to. Haven't owned one since 1998. I don't have cable, nothing else. Probably better informed than most of the people out there. When you sit down and you look at your TV schedule for the night, what's it called? Programming.
Done.
Programming. Done. What are they doing to you? Programming. Okay. And that is the intent right there. There's a lot of things that go into that and that programming. The commercials are probably some of the most important part. You know what they really count on you to do when a commercial comes on?
Probably do your own thing and not focus on it would be my guess.
Exactly. They know you're going to get up, go to the bathroom. You're going to go to the other room. You're going to fix something to drink, things like that.
Oh,
while
man.
You're doing that, the volume of that commercial raises. When it raises, you can still hear it, but what you're doing there is listening to it non-critically.
Right.
Now, when
right.
you listen to something and accept it non-critically, that is the same definition as what's going on with hypnosis. In hypnosis, you're given suggestions and you're accepting those non-critically.
Right.
But if you actually sit down and you pay attention to the commercial and actually watch that and critically watch it, I mean, look at it. What are they really trying to sell you? 9 times out of 10, it's not the product.
Right, right.
It's the lifestyle that's associated with the product. Then you can't have that lifestyle without this product, and letting us, through our programming, promote this to you. You're also going to see it in the show you're watching. It's going to be a lifestyle with that commercial that matches up somewhat to the show that you're watching.
Right.
Or it's going to be the antithesis of it, and they're going to tell you how to get back to that, like with the drugs and things like that. By the way, my favorite one, and I won't say which one it is because I don't want to get sued or anything.
Right, right.
But the antidepressants that caution the side effects of this could be suicidal behavior.
Right?
Excuse me.
Yeah, let me get right on that. And you know what's really okay?
That's okay. Because your doctor's prescribing it to you and you got to trust him. This is the same doctor that's been given these drugs for free so that he can give them out as free samples by the drug rep companies. They don't get paid to do this really, but what they do is if they're endorsing and promoting that certain medication, they will ask them to come and be a guest speaker at a conference about
it.
You know, share their experiences with it, things like that. So what they're actually getting when they do that is an all expenses paid trip to Atlantic City with hotel, with airfare, with meals, with everything else, plus a little expense account to go on the side so that they make sure they have a good time while they're there. And, you know, then they come back and everybody that goes there to see that gets continuing education credits. They get, you know, certificates and all this kind of stuff, and they feel good about it, and they pay to go to the thing, and you know, this doctor gets paid to go there. I've seen doctors that make more money doing that than they actually do providing services to the public.
Well, and that just, that's exactly the point that I'm wrapping
around.
It's
programming.
It's programming. And so you think, I'll go back to the Kim Kardashian. Poor Kim. Let's just kick her while she's down here, people. But, you know, honestly, when I look at it from a spiritual perspective, what I see here is a consciousness shift that is dramatically happening. And again, it's all over the world, but I'm going to speak intelligently from the country in which I live, which is the United States. There's a consciousness split. And I see people who, I feel them. I see the timelines of the people who are waking up and who are recognizing, oh my God, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to do this anymore. And there is this dramatic need to control the masses through, as you stated, programming by literally creating a reality that's so twisted and suggesting that everyone needs to be part of that one. And it's actually, from a spiritual perspective, hysterical, because darkness is illusion. And I lived in LA for 11 years. A lot of it was fun. A lot of it was challenging. I still do work there. And the one thing that I did witness a great deal of was the absolute horns lock, like two rams going at it, of light and dark there, jockeying for the airwaves. And now what we've got is you're either a freak show in America, you are a caricature of the self in any way you go, either too far left or too far right. You go way too far right and you got the apple pie and Chevrolet and you took my job, people, and they are a caricature. You go way too left and you got somebody over there, you know, chaining, wearing a cat hair covered sweater, looking at you up and down, chaining themselves to a tree, saying if you use more than one fork a year, you're killing the environment. I mean,
and I'm going to set myself on fire while I do this to get your attention and prove it.
Exactly. I mean, these are caricatures.
Burn, baby, burn.
Oh my God. And so I'm looking at this, and this is promoted because the spirit of darkness is illusion. And the only way, in my opinion, that, as I was speaking about on Sight Unseen last hour, that the people who control the world, and there's a group of eight of them that try really hard, they have been doing it for a long time, can continue to get us to fall into illusion because we'll stay asleep. But we are waking up at rapid pace.
It's all just distraction. All of it. It's they use the media, they use all kinds of things out there. They use military actions. They use everything. And they even create crisis. And they'll create this crisis, get everybody excited about it, get them all pumped up about it. I mean, it's like listening to a Southern Baptist preacher in church, getting you excited about this one issue so that, guess what? You don't look at what's going on over here or behind your back or over here. You're focused totally on what they're force feeding you right in your face, really loud.
Yes.
They're screaming it at you all the time. And if you turn that off, just block it out and start looking around. If you want to know what's going on in the world, get out and do some research. You know, look at some other people's news feeds besides America's. You know, somewhere in the middle, you'll figure it all out. You know, go watch, you know, Democracy Now, RT Times, watch Al Jazeera. That's real interesting, watching Al Jazeera.
Oh, Al Jazeera's a trip.
it's like, really whoa. Interesting. But somewhere in the middle of it, you'll find a common thread of what's really happening. And then you can start to see things. It's kind of like the Matrix. You're coming out of the Matrix and starting to see what's really going on by looking at what everybody's trying to tell you. Because there's a little bit of truth in all of it. A little bit. And then all of it that sounds the same is generally about where it is on the truth. The rest of it is all rhetoric. The mm-hmm. rest of it is all distraction. The rest of it is all fear-mongering to get you to hate, to be angry, to be mad, to do this. And at the same time, to get you to feel like there is nothing you can do about it. Not even in your own personal life. There's nothing you can do about it. If your own personal life isn't going the way it should be, take a drug.
Absolutely. Or blame someone
yeah.
from another country, a brown yeah. person who wears a turban. That'll work.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Take a drug. Accountability. Let's talk about accountability, because I have found that it has become the most unbelievable swear word. And I don't deal with it as much as a swear word perspective in the spiritual realm, because when I'm dealing with angels, they are black and white. They do not have the same idea of morality that we do. They could care less what our hangups are half the time. They are dealing with timelines and all kinds of things, and we're one little blip on their things they have to do. And it's fascinating to me. So we look at accountability. And if I'm on a million drugs, and I will put this disclaimer out there, I do have family members and people that I know out there who benefit from, thank mm-hmm. God, modern science, because we do not live in 1610. You do not need to suffer. If you truly have chemical issues in the brain, there are ways to alleviate those things. And of course, we're not really...
Back then, you'd have been taken care of by the community as being someone who was touched by God.
That's true. They would have thought that you would have been a seer yeah. or this or that. So I'm not down on people taking medication. Of course, what we're talking about is the modality of insisting that everyone must be medicated if you feel in any way, shape, or form. There's obviously a place for modern medicine, and it's helped countless people's lives. However, accountability, where does that fall in? When you're dealing with accountability, if the terrorists are making me do this out of fear, or the government is making me do this because I can't get rid of my gun because the government's going to take it, that's assigning away a lot of accountability. What would be your take psychologically on the need to assign away accountability, and why has it become such a trend?
My take on it is people don't understand what the word really means, first of all. Everybody wants everybody to take accountability for something they did that turned out wrong, that turned out bad. If you take accountability for something you did that was really good, why are you bragging? That's a bad thing. Literally, that's how people perceive it. If you take accountability for something you did that's really good, people think you're bragging, and they'll cut you down for it. My thought is, take accountability for all your actions, good, bad, or indifferent, and own them for what they are. Just own them. I mean, take accountability for yourself, your life, good, bad, indifferent. And if somebody doesn't like the fact that you took accountability for something good that you did, then just look at them and say, well, then don't try to hold me accountable for something bad that I do. If I screw something up and do something wrong, if you're not going to allow me to take accountability for something I did that was good, keep your mouth shut. Don't talk to me about something that I screwed up and tell me I need to take accountability for it. Otherwise, give me accountability. Let me take accountability for all the things I do, for all the actions I have, for all the beliefs I have, you know, regardless of whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. You know, let me take accountability for all of those, and don't tell me that I'm bragging if I take accountability for something I did that was good. That just beats people's self-esteem down.
Yes, it does.
You know, if someone tries to take accountability for something really great that they created, really, even if it's something small, they try to take accountability for it. You know, I went and helped someone today. Tomorrow, that felt really good. So tomorrow I get up, I go out, wow, there's someone else I've seen that needed help. I went and helped them. Hey, everybody, I got to help somebody again today. Felt really good again. Feels better each time I do it. You know, 2 weeks from now, you put it up on Facebook. Hey, I got to help somebody again. God, this is such a great thing. You know, will you quit bragging about helping all these people we really don't want to hear about anymore? That's the general reaction you get. A few people will be like, that is awesome. You've really keyed into something that you love here. The people that do that, listen to them. The ones that tell you how great that is, listen to them. The ones that accuse you of bragging and they don't want to hear about the good things and everything anymore, you know what? Unfriend them. Put them out of your life. Unfriend them literally in your life, not just figuratively on Facebook. Out of your life completely, because they're not supporting you. Accountability is... it's not good. It's not bad. It's a word. It means owning your actions, taking responsibility for those actions that you have.
And I love the fact that you brought up that there is negative and positive accountability. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. In my practice, I tend to see people who think that their whole life path is just going to spin out before them like some magical genie, and all of these guides and angels are going to magically come along and help them out. And they do help us, but they are relying on our actions first. For instance, if I have a client who sits in front of me, I will tell them straight up, your angels work on a system of free will. So if you have a question, a concern, a crossroads, something you'd like to bring up, go ahead and kick that soccer ball down the field. Let's start a conversation. They'll weigh in, I'll translate for them, we'll run with this. And I have had people sit there and look at me just astounded, like, well, what do they have to say to me? And I look at them and I think, what do you need help with? Well, what do they have to say? Well, what do you need help? I don't think you're understanding how this works. This is not a TV show. It's not a bunch. It's not Angel TV, you guys, okay? You can't just sit down and be entertained because angelic entities have nothing better to do but to tell you about you because how fascinating you are. And I'm not meaning to be cruel, you guys, but honestly, for crying out loud, that is an entertainment value issue. If you're sitting down in front of someone who is able to communicate with spirit, okay, or spirits, and your question is, what do you got for me? I mean, really? Good heavens. Why don't you turn the TV on? That is called programming. But as Roy pointed out, my dear co-host Roy Pack over here, we have been programmed to respond this way. Hi, I'm sitting in front of you. What have you got for me? Well, what do you need help with? Because this requires you guys, and I mean this with a lot of love, our life path requires 100% of our participation, okay? 100% of our participation. We don't get to just sit there and have our angels roll out the red carpet of gold and happy unicorns and a big fat hug from a fairy. All right, you guys? I mean, we have to actually be accountable for what we do, good and bad. And I will add this on the end of your Facebook comment. I've noticed, and let me get your take on this. Oh, we got a caller. We got a caller, Roy. Fantastic.
Caller, you're on the air. Who we got here?
This is Shelly from Bozeman. I called in earlier, and I had a question in regards to the accountability that you were just talking about, especially in regards to medication. I am recovering from a second traumatic brain injury. I was in a car accident, and I have really fought my providers in regards to taking medication, and they've been putting a lot of pressure on me, telling me that my recovery is not moving at a pace that it should be because I'm not taking the medication. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, both Danielle and
well, Roy, why don't you go with this one first here, and then I'll go after you.
Yeah. There's a bottom line to it. It's a personal choice. It really is. It's a personal choice. And you've made the choice to not do it. And, you know, in making that choice to not do it, where the accountability comes in is just saying, being accountable that I made that choice. That's what accountability would be, is admitting that you made that choice and owning that choice that you've made it. I can't say either way whether it's a good choice or a bad choice. It's the choice that you've made, and it's about just owning that choice and deciding whether or not you're okay with that choice and, you know, living with it. And that's what accountability is just admitting to yourself that that's my choice and I made it and it's mine and owning it.
And I would weigh in on that, Shelley, and say that from a spiritual perspective, you know, looking at your choice not to take the medication, I'm not seeing that necessarily reacted with you in a favorable way. And it is your brain and your mind and your body. And, you know, from what I'm seeing with the providers that are recommending this, this is the only I'm looking at a modality that they have right now. And that is the only modality they know. And so for them, they're going to go ahead and say, this is what you need to do, because according to them, that is the modality of healing. However, I mean, again, from my perspective, looking at this, your brain is going to map itself and heal itself in the way that you will have it map and heal. The human brain is a fascinating organ, and we don't even know anything about it. We're not even sure how a lot of these antidepressant drugs even work. We just know they do something. And so in terms of accountability, they are really just, they're covering their keisters here. And I'm looking at this from a legal perspective, again, through the ethers, telling you that you need to do these things. So they are covered in their recommendation to you, according to these angels, based upon their best recommendation. However, their accountability ends on covering their keister here and recommending what they think needs to be according to what their best recommendation is. For you, though, love, honest to God, I'm not seeing that you're, I mean, I see physical side effects with the medication that's not, that, that hasn't been pleasing for you.
Correct.
Okay.
That's why I don't take them. They're okay. More of a problem. They cause more problems than they help.
You know, and that's an individual thing. Once again, I can't say either way. And even if I could, I wouldn't in this situation, but can't say either way on this, whether it's a good thing, bad thing or whatever, it's the decision that you've made. And, you know, hopefully at some point in time, you can sit down and say, I'm okay with this decision. And, you know, that's what accountability is saying. I've done something and I'm okay with the fact that I've done it. And then I think moving on beyond the accountability is saying, what did I learn from it? And that's a very important part, is what did I learn from this? And taking what you learned from it and seeing if that influences your decisions in the future about things. You know, whenever we make a decision to do something, hopefully we learn from that action that we've done, and we use the experiences from that to move on and make either, you know, different decisions, better decisions in the future. Or if it worked out really great, make the same decision to do it the same way again. It's all, the accountability comes back to just owning your choice, knowing what your choices were, what your actions were, owning those and being responsible for those, and then learning from those. That's the next part, is learning from it and using that, whatever you learned from that experience in the future, carrying it with you.
And in addition to that, Shelley, you know, I'm being shown some grief you're catching for your choice. That is, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm being shown.
That is exactly what's happening.
All right.
Which is, I as listening to this conversation, I'm seeing what's happening is I'm getting a lot of grief for my choice. And before I got that grief, I was solid about the choice that I made. And what I saw is I was trusting myself, but as I got this grief, I'm starting to doubt myself.
You know, this, darling, I got to tell you, this is coming up just on the big old psychic screen here as a shadow issue. And I talked on Sight Unseen last hour about shadow issues. This is coming up as a shadow issue, trusting of the self when pressured. Okay. I'm seeing some life struggles you've had in this area when pressured to trust the self, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what this is your opportunity for growth. We like to call them karmic lessons, or I like to call them opportunity for growth because karmic lesson is depressing. So your opportunity for growth here is to, as Roy was saying, look at the accountability factor and say, hey, this was my decision, and it is my decision, and it is my head, it is my brain, it is my body. And regardless of anybody else's input, you know what is best for you. And again, I'm no medical doctor. I can see energy signatures. I can see your brain patterns. And I can see them deeply interrupted. And also nausea, physical effects too, from that. Did you have nausea with the other medication they gave you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing nausea and all kinds of other things here that weren't necessarily working out well for you. So you are accountable to yourself. And if other people are having a hard time with it, those are their shadow issues and their fear of loss. Especially I'm seeing people who are fearing they will lose you. Okay. So this is coming from a place of fear in them. They fear they will lose you. So they panic and they put pressure on you to do something that you don't feel right about. You go ahead and hold your calm on that. Because it sounds as though your first decision was actually better for your body. I mean, these, not all drugs are for all people. Again, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm just looking at the compare contrast here.
Mm-hmm. And I totally understand that. And that's what I'm seeing is, you know, it's their own shadow. Also, you know, it's CYA on their part. So they don't have to be accountable. And you know, and like I said, I think I can just hit it right on the head that, I was okay with my choice and I'm trusting myself. And then I was getting pressure to doubt myself. And, I kind of took that and ran, I think.
I'm going to say something here, and I'm going to give my disclaimer out in the beginning of this. First of all, I do not give advice ever. And the reason being is if I give you good advice and you don't follow it, you're a jerk. If I give you bad advice and you follow it and it turns out wrong, I'm a jerk. And so,
welcome to my world, man. Welcome to my world.
I do not give advice ever. And my next one is I make suggestions from time to time, and I reserve to be totally wrong at any given point in time. So with that, I'm going to make a suggestion. And okay, that suggestion would be do some research into acquired brain injury and look at some of the successes out there, how they achieve those successes, other people that have gone through it, talk to some, do your research, do the same research you'd do if you went to a car mechanic, you went to a lawyer, you went to a doctor, you should be researching all those things, you know, anything else, you know, do some research on it and educate yourself. You know, you've got something that you're facing right here that's very grand, and we're not taught how to, you know, approach something like this. We didn't go to school and get taught, you know, if you ever have a brain injury, this is how you react, this is what you do and everything else while we're in school, and these are all your options, and these are all the possibilities, and these are all the possible outcomes. We don't learn any of that stuff. We learn it as we go along. We learn it as we need it if a situation comes up. So, you know, do yourself a favor. This is my suggestion. Educate yourself on that and see what other people have chose to do, what they've gone through. Look at, you know, successes, failures, things like that. And, you know, just help. That's part of the learning process with accountability on this. You know, being accountable for where you're at. You can get out and learn some things from that. One of them is, you know, read the research, get into journals and read the research. You may learn that you made the right decision. You may learn that you made the wrong decision. In the end, what you hopefully learn is you made a decision, and that's okay to make a decision, whatever that decision is. I can't imagine what it would be like to go through life without ever making any decisions. That would be just horrible for me personally, on a personal level, to not be able to make any decisions.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. So, just educate yourself, you know, find out all you can about it. And it may change your attitude, your perspective. It may change your decision. It may reinforce your decision. I have no idea. You know, that's not an area that I know a little bit about it, not much. Mm-hmm. And like I say, it's a suggestion. Cheers to take it or leave it, and I reserve the right to be totally wrong.
Well, I really appreciate the suggestion. I mean, I do, and I appreciate it because it's not something. I mean, I've done some research, but as I'm listening to this, okay, I need to research in some different directions, and I appreciate it a lot.
Well, and you should, and keep that up. What they're saying for you, and these are your angels. When I say what they're saying, I'm not talking about the voices in my head, people. I'm talking about your angels, Shelley. And what they're talking about here is this opportunity for growth to trust the self, really. And I can tell you that, the people who are giving you grief are afraid to lose you. And obviously the medical professionals are doing some CYA. None of this has to do with them thinking you don't have an ability to make a decision. This feeling that I'm clocking coming up from you is that little bitty id inside of you, the little inner person that's spiritually saying, can I make this decision for myself? Well, heck yeah, you can, sister. Heck yeah, you can. This is your body. It's your brain. You can make that decision, and everyone else will fall behind that. The lesson is trusting the self.
I'm going to let everybody off the hook a little bit on this. The doctors, the people in your family, and you all at once here, and say this. Everybody is doing the best they can with the tools that they know how to work with, including you. Okay. You're doing the best you can with the tools you have. Your family members are doing the best they can with the tools that they have that they know how to work with. The doctors and everybody's doing the best that they can with the tools that they know how to work with. And there is kind of a little beauty in that.
Yes, there is.
There you go.
It's been a while since I've heard that, but perfect timing. So, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate it. And good luck with your journeys.
Absolutely, Shelley. Yeah, good luck with your journeys. Don't worry about owning what's not yours, sister. It's not yours to own.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, thanks for the program.
You betcha. Anybody else out there listening, of course, you can call myself or my wonderful co-host, the psych major, Mr. Roy Pack. Call the psychic or the psych major. We will look into your issue. Always dial us up here at montanaradio.net at area code 545-4496. Call us with your questions, concerns, or something you'd like a little bit of insight on.
There's that radio silence we all hate. Actually, I did that on purpose.
I did too. I was actually giving it a few beats to reset from the last segment. I'm like, whoa. You know, that's a common problem I think many of us have is lacking trust in the self. I don't believe that Shelley's issue is all that uncommon. And again, that goes back to what we started initially talking about, programming. We have been programmed to follow a program. And when we divert from the program, we experience that sense of other people noticing that. Wonderful. We have another caller. Fantastic. Hey, caller. You are on the Soul with Danielle and Roy. What is your name and where are you calling from?
My gosh, I'm already on there. It only rang once.
Well, you know, we have an incredible board op, let me tell you.
And we knew you were calling ahead of time anyway. We have a psychic.
No, I'm calling from Los Angeles, and this is True.
True in Los Angeles. How wonderful, True. How are you? What can we do for you today?
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. Well, Danielle, you've known me for a long time, and you know that I've been suffering from PTSD issues, and I took psych meds for depression, and I've been listening a little bit to what you guys were talking about. And I was awesome for a while, thinking I was doing really well, and then yesterday all of a sudden I started having, you know, depressive feelings, so I hastily looked for my medication to get back on it, and, you know, I remember a while back I talked to a couple of people in the psychic industry and was told this is something I'm going to have to do the rest of my life, and that's kind of making me bum out a bit, and I'm wondering from a spiritual perspective if that's really true or not.
Okay, as a recap, we were having a few technical issues, but I'll recap for people in case they weren't able to understand what you were saying. You've been struggling with some issues around your heart for quite a while, and you know, different medications, different modalities going around about this. Talked to different psychics and they told you that this was going to be a problem that you were going to continue to have, and depending on who you were talking to or whatnot, and so the question being, of course, Is that really true? True?
Well, that's part of it. But what I guess you didn't hear, and I was on speaker. That's part of my fault. I'm on psych meds for depression.
And did you say PTSD as well?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And it stems from my abusive childhood. And you know, like I said, knowing Danielle for as long as I have, she's kind of familiar with that. And I'm wondering if I'm going to have to stay on psych meds for the rest of my life. And taking these psych meds also has a tendency to affect my heart medication, and I just have to be careful. But I would much rather get off them if I can, but I was told that I may never get off of them. So I'm just wondering from a spiritual perspective if it's something that, you know, has any credibility in your perspective.
Good. I'm going to tiptoe through this very, very carefully here.
Okay, you tiptoe through it, and then I'll whack it around for a while. You go first.
I am gonna totally tiptoe through this, and you know, tiptoe through it for, as Danielle pointed out with our other caller, on some CYA things here on my part.
Right. No, I heard all that. So yeah, I understand.
Yeah. So I'm gonna very carefully tiptoe through this for liability reasons. But I'm going to throw out some suggestions here, and it sounds like you're using some of these already. And one of the suggestions is to have a very good support group around you that you can use for a mirror for reflection. And what I mean by that is people around you that you can honestly trust to say, hey, you're doing good, and have them tell you what it is that you're doing that's good. And get that reflection back. And at the same time, trust them when they say, you're slipping a little bit, Drew. And, you know, find out why, you know, what it is they're seeing and that kind of stuff. And at the same time, having a really good clinician that you can speak with, when these things start slipping, that can help guide you with some ideas on different things you can do in your life, different ways that you can program yourself to react to situations, that can help you with some things like that. And find a really good one that you're really comfortable with, that's really going to focus on helping you change not only your behaviors, your perceptions, and those kinds of things. There's one real cool little thing that can be done with some of that too, and it has to do with neurolinguistics. In our thought processes influence how we speak, and that's all based on our experiences, our perceptions, and our memories, things like that. At the same time, if we change the way we speak about certain things, it's like math. It works in reverse. If we change the way we talk about things, it also changes the way we perceive things and the way we've experienced things. And so those are some really cool things too, some different, you know, things that you can think about. But the bottom line is, make sure you have a really good support group of friends around you can use for reflection, that'll help guide you through this, that aren't going to put you down or anything, or say, hey, why are you screwing up, that kind of stuff, that really do support you. Occasionally, they're probably going to tell you things you don't want to hear. So they got to be people you can trust. And at the same time, find yourself a really good clinician that's going to work with you on this. And it may be someone who's an expert with PTSD. It might actually be someone who really doesn't know a whole lot about it, but you really connect with them. I would find a clinician that I really connect with and go with that clinician and really get involved with them and what they're doing. And so that's what I would do, is, you know, stay with the professional help that you can find that works for you on that level of things. And then let your good friend Danielle here help you deal with all the rest of it, and it's all going to come together into one nice package that works for your life, I think.
Okay. And, you know, true, to add to what Roy is saying here, you know, when, and this is what I was given from your angels, especially looking at some of these interpretations of certain psychic readings and whatnot. And I am not disrespecting anyone else's interpretation, because all psychics, we all read from the same waterfall of information. There's only one waterfall
of information. You're the only one I've talked to as far as that goes.
Well, and that's a thing. I mean, as far as, you know, whomever would be saying to you that you would never get off this medicine, I don't even know where those messages are coming from, because the bottom line is...
My psychiatrist told me that.
Well, you know what's interesting is our psychiatrists, again, they have a job to do. It is their perspective that this is what would be best for you. However, true, your soul and your spirit, as we talked about at the very top of the show, are inseparable, and they live inside of you, and only you know what is right for you. And there are certain issues. My father is a psychotherapist, and I've been educated, and I'm not a psychotherapist, but I've been educated in the areas by my father, telling me that there are certain issues that require chemical balancing, and there's other issues that are emotional. And when I look at you, I mean, it's up to you to decide what road you think is going to be the best road. But when I look at you, there is tons and tons and tons of emotional reserve here that is powerful. It is centered. It knows who it is when it once did not, they're saying. They're also talking about the fact that you have this unbelievable ability to identify what can be wrong and not react in the same manner. Whereas 10 years ago, you were more like a tape loop. Emotionally, mm-hmm. Okay? They're also showing me that you have an enormous capacity to heal, to learn, to activate. And this is all up to you. And again, going back to the accountability word, you know, this is all up to what you want to take a hold of. And if you find that you go off of any meds and you're struggling or this or that, you know, this also may, again, only you know where the right threshold is here, true. I have known people who have gone off of medications because of PTSD related issues, and the issues that were underneath of the iron lid of the medication were able to then come up, and they felt that they could deal with them in a way to eradicate them rather than dealing around them. So it really depends on what you're the most comfortable with, but I would not feel it is an accurate assessment to tell anyone that they never can do something. We don't have that kind of information. I think you are infinitely capable. I think you can do whatever you darn well decide you want to do.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping to hear, because, you know what, I consider myself being on this for the rest of my life. You know, especially, you know how how tenacious I've been about my spiritual pursuits.
Yes,
and
you have.
About that.
Yes.
And I'm relying more on that to get me through all that than medication.
Well, but and again, you know, you have to pay attention to how this makes you feel. However, I am seeing that you, I will tell you this, I am seeing inside of you, they're showing me the inside of you. You do have far more emotional tools halfway through your life than you did initially when this medication was prescribed for you. So you are in a slightly different area. And it looks like you've been on this antidepressant medicine for quite a while here. It's looking like.
On and off quite a while.
Yeah. And so you, but now at this point in your life, you're a different person on the inside with different tools to be able to address these spiritual issues or these emotional issues. And only you are going to know, you know, sometimes we do need a little medication help because of all kinds of things. However, it is not accurate, to say never. That is not an accuracy. It is for what you are willing to go for and conquer within the self.
Well, thank you guys both for your input. I greatly appreciate that. And Danielle, I'm going to try to reach you before October 1st.
Sure, absolutely. You know, and you can do that. You can
reading.
Absolutely. You guys can hit me up, of course, at Barjon's Books. I read down there Monday and Wednesdays. And you can call them directly for appointments at 406-252-4398. Or you can just email me. And you can hit me up at Danielle Agnew, EGNEW-advisor.com. There's a contact page there. You can hit me up for readings there as well. And of course, True, I would be loving to talk to you.
All right. Well, thanks again. I appreciate it. You guys both have a good night.
You too, True.
Yep, you too. Thank you so much for calling in.
That is I tell you what, in the same way that I get irritated with people in the medical field who will look at someone who has a disease that is impending and say, you have 1 month to live. They actually don't see that anymore very often, but I will every once in a while get a client who will come in and say, oh my God, I was told I have 4 months to live. Really? Really? Like, that's ridiculous. The human spirit is not on a time clock and we can heal amazing things.
I think I got the topic for next week's show already here.
Right on.
And you'll have to do some research on this. I've read it front to back and know the author of the book and everything, but the term is iatrogenics.
Iatrogenics?
I-A-T-R-O-G-N-E-C. Oh, God. No, my brain ain't working long enough to remember how to spell the whole thing.
Well, it's a very long, weird word. It's okay. Iatrogenics.
Iatrogenics. Look up the term. See what it means if you're out there listening. I think it'd be a great little topic for us to, I'll tell you about it later, maybe.
Fabulous. Well, this would be fun.
It really ties into everything we're talking about here tonight is iatrogenics and iatrogenic disorder, iatrogenesis in society and everything. So with that, I'm going to let you wrap this up here. We got just about a minute to go. You got such a beautiful voice and...
So
I'm
do you.
Winded.
I don't have the low sexy that you do, darling, but I will do my best. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into the premier broadcast of The Soul, where the psych major meets the psychic. I'm Danielle Agnew. My co-host is Roy Pack. We're going to be here every single Wednesday evening for you guys, of course, from 8 to 9 o'clock p.m. following my show, Sight Unseen. Don't hesitate to shout out at montanaradio.net and let us know what you think of the show. We'd love to hear about what you guys are doing out there and how you're feeling. And I'll tell you, until next week, stay centered, stay authentic, and don't forget to just be yourself because there is only one you. Until next time, everybody, I'm Danielle Agnew. This is Roy Pack, and you've been listening to The Soul on montanaradio.net.